an entire world, or Israel has a share in the world, to come not only as a reward for fulfilling the commandments, no non-Jew has a share in the world to come. In this view, Jews and non-Jews were molded from different matter. True, a non-Jew can convert to Judaism, but by doing so he changes his essence. The attitude toward the non-Jew is closed, and the emphasis is on strict segregation. The greatness expressed by chosenness is embodied in the Jewish collective essence. Emphasis supplied, statements by Israeli government officials condemning apartheid in South Africa as completely contrary to the very foundations in which Jewish life is based, are the ultimate in hypocrisy. Mark A. Brusinski, 9. In an article entitled Israel is Too Much Like South Africa, appearing in the Los Angeles Times, August 20, 1985, makes the point convincingly, I first encountered the charge that Zionist racism makes Israel comparable to South Africa in the early 1970s, while I was chief representative of the International Student Movement for the United Nations. I protested vehemently in a long personal letter to an assistant of the UN Secretary General, Kurt Waldheim. Officials of the American Zionist Youth Foundation sent copies of that letter to Jewish university students in the United States and Israel, and then commissioned me to write monthly articles on Zionism for their newsletter. I next confronted the Israel/South Africa comparison at Princeton University, while obtaining a master's degree in international affairs. Professor Richard Falk, himself Jewish, repeatedly linked the situations of the two countries in his course on international law. I remember sharing the outrage of my Israeli student colleagues. Once again I protested vehemently. I provide my own history on the issue, to make it clear, that for many years I aggressively challenged comparisons of South Africa and Israel. Now I have come to conclude that the similarities between the two outweigh the differences. Tragically, Israel today has become precisely what many of its liberal founders feared: a besieged, divided, polarizing country whose methods of repression against the Palestinians parallel those of white South Africa against the blacks. Here are what I view as the important points of similarity. In both cases, self-determination is being sought by a mistreated, oppressed, abused ethnic group: the blacks of South Africa, the Palestinians, and the territories occupied by Israel. Since the 1967 war, both governments are engaged in escalating militarism, intimidation, and brutality. Both oppressed groups have resorted to open challenge and increasing violence. In both cases, the potential for escalating conflict is growing. The Israeli government has further stepped up a campaign against its Palestinian subjects that over the years has included deportation, imprisonment, collective punishment, and, occasionally, documented torture. Emergency regulations left over from British mandate days in what used to be called Palestine, similar to those imposed in South Africa, are enforced by Israel in the occupied territories. Looked at historically, rather than through the obscuring lens of day-to-day headlines, the white minority of South Africa and the Jewish minority in the Middle East are both coming up against their own inescapable contradictions. In an era of non-discrimination and secularism, they are ideologically wedded to principles that many in the world term racist. The situation is more confused in the case of historic Palestine, a land that the world community voted to partition in 1947 between the same two nationalist movements that are in conflict today. Jewish ethnicity and chauvinism in combination with Zionist nationalism have created a mix that is discriminatory in spirit, if not in actual laws. The greatest distinction between Israel and South Africa is that Zionism is legally non-discriminatory, while apartheid is legally racist. And yet, if we are to be honest, in practice the results are comparable. The most hopeful difference between the two may be that an acceptable solution is still conceivable for Israel and the Palestinians' peaceful coexistence and mutual recognition of both peoples' national rights. However, increasing attacks of Jewish settlers on the West Bank and rising Israeli support for extremists are signs that time may also be running out in the Middle East. More recently, the Israeli government said that it unconditionally objects to the policy of apartheid in South Africa, although it took no steps to alter the substantial trade, arms, and security relationship that exists between the two countries. Prime Minister Shimon Peres condemned apartheid as completely contrary to the very foundations on which Jewish life is based. But around the world today, people who speak in one way and act in another have little credibility. Vigorous protest of apartheid, while acquiescing in Israel's continuing campaign to intimidate the Palestinian people into submission, is hypocrisy, emphasis supplied in the Los Angeles Times, June 5, 1989, edition. The following news item appeared, Dateline Jerusalem. Jewish settlers yesterday attacked and beat Israeli peace activists trying to deliver food and medicine to Palestinian children in Gaza Strip refugee camps. In the West Bank, soldiers reportedly shot and killed a Palestinian teenager. The developments followed a raid Monday by Jewish settlers on a Palestinian refugee camp. A 13-year-old girl was shot to death in the rampage. An Israeli court in Kfar Saba, near Tel Aviv, yesterday ordered 5 Jewish seminary students suspected in the rampage jailed pending further investigation. The seminary's spiritual leader, Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg, justified the slaying and said the blood of Jews and non-Jews cannot be equated. Emphasis supplied, is this from Mein Kampf? Unless the moderate Jews in Israel and the diaspora speak out against this arrogant perversion in the name of religion, they should remain silent when the United Nations equates Zionism with racism. Old Jewish doctrines that were thought dead and buried are being revived by the religious extremists. The pernicious doctrine that there are 2 standards of morality, one when the Jews are weak and another when the Jews are dominant, is being raised again in the name of Maimonides, the great Jewish philosopher of the late Middle Ages. Huckabee explains, the victory of 1967 led certain extremists to the belief that the age had in fact come when Israel was stronger than the nations of the world, or nearly so. Maimonides explained that the restrictions on idolaters, identified with non-Jews in general, are applicable only in such a period. The foregoing rules applied to the time when the people of Israel lived reviled among the nations, or when the Gentiles' power is predominant. But when Israel is predominant over the nations of the world, we are forbidden to permit a Gentile who is an idolater to dwell among us. Avodah Zarah, 10:6. Thus Maimonides distinguished between 2 periods, when the nations of the world are stronger than Israel and their oath is to be feared, and when Israel is stronger than the nations of the world, and may treat them in a high-handed manner. Emphasis supplied. Huckabee continues, Jewish religious extremism has been associated with a startling deterioration in the quality of theological thought. Its leaders usurp God's role and decide what his position should be, claiming that they know that God has signed up to hack the Israel cause, is angry with Gentiles, can no longer restrain his wrath, and is about to explode against them. Micha Hain has explained that the establishment of the state of Israel was the beginning of God's wrath, his vengeance on the Gentiles who ignored his existence. The pattern of thinking implied by Rabbi Zvi Yehuda Cook's statement that the entire world will have to get accustomed to the idea that Israel will not yield a single inch of the occupied territories, and it will be better for them when they do so, is also distressing. The statement implies a threat that, if the world does not accept annexation, it will be punished. Emphasis supplied. The rise of xenophobia. Huckabee cites Mordechainism's The Jewish State and the Arab Problem as indicating an alarming increase in hostility to the Gentile world. There is no need for compensation in case an ox owned by a Jew gores an ox owned by a Gentile, whereas there is need for compensation in the opposite case. Hilchutner's Kaimamon, ch. 8:5. An article lost by a Jew should be returned, but not one lost by a Gentile. Hilchot Gzilave Avadam, Chapter 11. Dr. Nizan justifies these discriminations on the grounds of cultural differences a bit. These discriminatory laws can now be transposed from the private to the political domain. Thus, Israeli Jewish claims to Eretz Yisrael are superior, and the Palestinian claims can be summarily rejected, thus there is no need for a compromise with them. The West Bank should be annexed by Israel forthwith, and the ensuing demographic problem be solved by a transfer of the Arabs to other countries, p. 124. Judaism has been radicalized in two ways: politically, in supporting extreme nationalism and annexation of the West Bank; socially, in fostering hostility to Gentiles in general.